How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Knox Manning in Hollywood, taking you on another brief journey behind the scenes. Once again, we draw the curtain to watch a fragment of forgotten drama, a story of people and places already hidden in the background of destiny. Today, we shall meet a girl whom no one knows, who might have had one of the most famous names in history. But first, a word from a familiar voice. And now, step with me behind the scenes to a typical picture in the typical growing American city of Cleveland, Ohio. The year is 1855, and it's summer. A warm, flower-scented evening, and the breezes carry the small talk of neighbors as they sit rocking on the porches of their suburban homes. A young man, dressed in his very best $20 suit and starched collar, sits close to the girl whose dark eyes shine in the fading light. Their hands touch softly. The boy leans over to whisper something in her ear. She blushes and turns her head to the side, then nods it slightly, and he gently kisses her on the forehead. Yes, that's how they did things in 1855. And now the lad rises from the swing in which they've been sitting, squares his teenage shoulders, gulps manfully, and enters the house. He walks quickly to the large, forbidding woman who is crocheting by the fire, falters just for an instant, and then asks that very important question. May I have the hand of your daughter in marriage, madam? The woman scarcely looks up from her handiwork. After all, the question is no surprise to her. She's seen it coming for a long time now, and she knows, too, what her answer will be. Why, it's unthinkable that her daughter should be wed to this young upstart, an assistant bookkeeper in a commission house at $25 a month, and no better prospect in sight. What a future life that would be. She's gentle but firm. She feels that perhaps it's better if they don't see each other anymore. The boy dejectedly leaves the room and goes back to the porch. Now is the hardest part of all. It's all over. It's finished. Of course, they can still be good friends. And even as they say these things, even as the girl walks to the gate to say goodbye to the assistant bookkeeper in the commission house, they both know that this is the last time. The girl knows that Mother will find some good, substantial man with a good, substantial income for her to marry. Someone who can provide her with the comforts of life. And the boy, well, he doesn't know it yet, but that boy's going to amass the greatest fortune in all history. He's going to give away more of that money than anyone else since the beginning of time. And when he dies at the age of 97, he and his heirs will possess one of the most famous names of the ages. The girl is to live in comfort and die in obscurity, and the boy will earn permanent fame and a fortune of more than $1,000,000. And in that brief moment, she turned down the opportunity to share in this fame and fortune because her young man in the $20 suit and starched collar had no prospects. Now, before the conclusion to our story, a word from your announcer. Even in 1855, it's the woman who makes the decisions. And on that summer evening in Cleveland, Ohio, a girl turned down the offer of marriage to an obscure bookkeeper. Her name today might have been world famous because of the man she refused. It might have been hailed because of the educational, medical, and social welfare benefits derived from the great fortune which this boy with such poor prospects finally achieved. We presume that it must have been with some modicum of regret that this woman thought how she might have been Mrs. John D. Rockefeller, Sr. This is Knox Manning inviting you to join me again tomorrow at this time for another journey into that dim half-light where chance and destiny lift men out from behind the scenes. This is a Hamilton Whitney radio production, transcribed in Hollywood.